Okay, Dalia, would you like to unmute yourself?
Awesome. Nice to see you again. Thank you for having me and allow me to ask a question.
Yeah, so what is your question?
The question is, I did have quite a few experiences, and I do see the essence as everything in everything I perceive. Of course, anger or any differences as any relationship I they fall, I just see everybody as me. But with all that, with humble, I need your help, Hassan, because I do suffer right now.
You do what?
I do suffer a lot right now. My oldest son is 7 weeks to live. He's dying, and my heart is still aching. You know, if you remember, my husband died not even 2 years ago. In January would be 2 years, and now my oldest son. And
sorry, I did not understand. The younger son.
My husband also passed away not even 2 years ago, and now my son. And I still suffer, and I know I'm aware of the condition of the body and all that, and the emptiness and the projection of the mind and the and that it's just all just a projection, and still I'm suffering, and I don't know why.
Well, you suffer because of your attachment. But what is your son dying of?
Cancer.
Cancer. Where do you live? What country?
I live in Las Vegas right now, USA.
What?
USA.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
And your husband died 2 years ago, huh?
In January, it would be two years that he passed away, yes, from cancer also.
Also cancer. And how old?
Ajahn, I still have 5 children I take care of. We had...
How many?
5.
5 children. So you still have 4.
Yeah. But they suffer a lot, and I don't know. I'm trying to stay peace, and just to bring them into silence and peace.
Mm.
But inside, I can feel my heart is crying.
How old is your son, or was your son?
He just turned 38.
8? What?
38.
38. But
yes.
He did not live with you. He had his own family, or?
Yes, he did have a wife, no kids, though.
So he wasn't there with you all the time.
Well, while he grew up, yeah.
Yeah, he grew up, yeah, and then he left the house, you know, and then he lived his own life, yeah. And maybe once or twice a year you saw him. or you spoke on the phone.
Yes.
I mean, it's the nature of human beings to be born and to die, yeah? And we have to get, we have to get in grips with it, yeah? also your other children, you know, I mean, they are born and they sooner or later they will die. Yeah? I mean, this is, and the attachment, you know, I mean, this is something that you have to get rid of. You know, he's an individual person, yeah? Just like you are an individual person. And this is his way, you know, this is his karma, because, you know, your husband died, you know, because of his karma, and your son died because of karma. And there's nothing that you can do. You know? I know it is especially difficult for mothers to let go of their children that they're bared with their own body, but realize it. You know, I mean, realize, you know, everybody who is born, you know, will sooner or later die. And they will die sooner if they have the bad karma, and they will die later, you know, if they have good karma. But sooner or later, they will all die, yeah?
Yes, I'm aware, yes.
Yeah, and that is the only help that you can have, you know? I mean, he's still around somewhere, yeah? And maybe in one of the next lives you will meet him again, and he might be your father.
Yes, I am aware of that, yes. Thanks.
Yeah, so, I mean, whenever it comes up, you know, I mean, let him go, yeah? I mean, it makes it also easier for him. He sees your attachment, also your husband, he sees your attachment, and it's not good for him, yeah? The attachment of a mother to her children, I mean, it will also be a burden on the children, yeah? So they cannot act freely. Yeah, let him go, you know, wherever he needs to go or wherever he's supposed to go. Yeah. You understand that? I know it's difficult, you know, I mean, especially in the West, yeah, I mean, we cry so much about, you know, death, yeah, but it's a natural occurrence, yeah, and sooner or later, you know, I mean, every one of us goes, you know. But we don't go away, you know, we go just to another plane of existence. Just like your son, you know, left, for instance, to Thailand and you didn't see him for years, yeah? Yeah, I mean, he's still around somewhere. That is the only thing, you know, whenever it comes up, you know, I mean, try to calm your mind and tell yourself, okay, let him go, you know, may he be well, may he be happy, you know, wherever he is, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, after a minute, you know, then go back to your Buddha or go back to your meditation object, yeah? And the crying is not, you know, the crying is not helping you, yeah? Actually, you know, what is happening when we cry about somebody else's death, yeah? Then we fear our own death. We cry, you know, because we also know that we are going to die and we don't want to die, yeah? So it has some parts of it has to do with your son, but most of parts of it has to do with you. Because you are faced with death, yeah? You're faced with a reality that most people in the West don't want to see. The reality of dying, yeah?
Well, I suffer from a severe depression, like 20 years. That's what he bring me to meditation, and I had a few suicidal attempts. So I'm not afraid of that. I also work in a hospital, and I see a lot of it.
Mm.
And I wasn't discussing. I see all kind of old age, and I was see acceptance as it's part of life. That is part of life, and still I can see my suffering. And like you said, it's probably the attachment I have because you know.
I mean, attachment in this kind of sense, you know, I mean, be it attachment to a son, be it attachment to a loved one, you know, it's always, yeah, I mean, what, I'm sorry if I say that, but you know I'm straightforward, yeah? I mean, what does this person give to me what I don't have? So look, you know, what did your son give to you, yeah? What you don't have, yeah?
Yes.
And if you find that out, you know, find it within your heart, yeah? And in the end, you will become free of all this attachment, yeah? Because everything is within you, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, what are you looking in your son that you don't have, yeah? Or in your husband, or whatever it is, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. And I think I'm aware of that. It's that conditional love.
Yeah. I mean, the more freer you are of this attachment, the more you can appreciate all the people around you, yeah?
Yes. And I don't see, like, my mother is my mother, or you, or I see the relationship completely dissolve as everybody. I just feel this compassion, this love. I don't know. I'm not trying to be here in many shape or form, but it becomes so equally. And I'm like, I have to ask myself, why am I still suffering for my son?
That is what you have to find out for yourself, yeah? I mean, what kind of thoughts, yeah? I mean, what makes you know, I mean, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, you know, bring that suffering up, yeah? And then you have to, then you have to change the memories and you have to change the thoughts, yeah?
Yes.
But I assume, you know, I mean, your letting go is mostly done in the brain and not yet in the heart.
Yes, exactly. Now I know. Yes, you're right.
Let it go in the heart, you know, I mean, see, yeah? I mean, then accept it. First of all, you know, accept the pain, yeah? And then see what is behind this pain. You know, what kind of memory, what kind of attachment. And then try to remedy these kind of thoughts or memories, yeah?
Yes.
Okay?
That's really good advice. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So, next question. Yeah? There is a question from the audience.
How can you let go from the heart? How do you do such a thing?
That, as I just said it, you know, I mean, you feel the pain,
yeah?
Whatever your attachment is on, you know, is it a loved one or is it, you know, is your mother, father or loved one or child, yeah? I mean, feel the pain. And then look what kind of thoughts and memories bring up that pain. Because the pain does not come by itself. It comes through a certain attachment, through a certain view, through a certain opinion we have about, yeah, relationships. Sometimes, you know, I can be, you know, if your mother or father goes or if your child goes, you feel the loneliness that you always had within you. And you don't want to have this loneliness, yeah? That can be one of the factors. Eh? And then look at the loneliness. Eh? And then if you go into meditation, there is actually no loneliness. Because you're connected to everybody. But this you can only do with your heart. Yeah. Of course, you can stipulate it. You know, you can stipulate, I'm not lonely, but you feel lonely. Yeah. And lots of people, especially in the West, they're all lonely. Huh? They're all lonely, they're all needy, you know, they only want for themselves, yeah? That is a problem, yeah? I mean, it is our upbringing that we feel needy, we want, you know, we want. I mean, let's compare it to food, yeah? If you're hungry, you know, I mean, you constantly want to have food, yeah? But if you're full, yeah? If you're not lonely, it's meaning you're completely full of compassion, yeah? Then you don't need anything, yeah? So you don't feel the loneliness. But because you feel the loneliness or feel the hunger, you know, to be connected to people, yeah? That's what you have to investigate and get rid of these thoughts, yeah? And prove it to yourself, you know, through meditation, that you're actually not lonely. You're only disconnected the moment you think or you memorize. That's why you're disconnected to everybody. Ne? You think about somebody, you see somebody, you think about it, you give a label on him, and then you feel disconnected. If you don't, if you just see a person as a person or an animal as an animal, you don't feel this disconnect. But the moment you have thoughts about it, there is a disconnect. Because there's I and he, or I and she. Yeah? You understand that? So if you leave out all thoughts, if you could live in a way, where you don't have any thoughts and don't have any memories, how can you not be connected all the time? And you see what is going on. So you have to go down, and that is the way of the heart, you have to prove yourself, by letting go of the thoughts and memories, and then you will see, there is nothing to it, But the first thing is, in the beginning, because the pain is driving us nuts, or some people get depressed, to accept that pain, and then look what is behind this pain, Okay? So, next question. Was it good?
Can we have my job? Or would you like to have me answer?
Yes, thank you. Yes, Ajahn, this is the first time for me to see you, and I'm happy. Yeah, and this time I'm finding you because I have been haunted by a spirit for 2 years, and I have been feeling heavy or moving objects on my chest. Mm. And it stops me from my study for 1 year, and because it weakens my mind, my jitta. And sometimes I also feel it very hard to focus on the meditation object. Like I chant Buddha, Buddha, and now half of it fails. Like very easily I become sleepy and hopeful. Mm. And so I've tried many methods, seeing many ajahns, but like I've been doing merits, doing dana to the sangha and transferring merit to it, and also bhava to it to ask for his forgiveness. But it doesn't work. So I'm told by someone with divine eye that he doesn't accept anything. He just wants to take revenge. So I beg Ajahn for your advice of being a mediator.
Did you talk to him?
I cannot communicate with him. But I have been.
What is it? Does he possess you? Or is he just around you?
In my body, inside my body, I can feel it.
Yeah, does he change your behavior?
At first, when it first come into my body, I think so. I become very crazy and I lost control of myself. But now it's normal, I'm normal.
This spirit cannot enter if you have a very strong citta. So you have to build up the citta. Yeah? A spirit cannot enter. Yeah? If you're if you have a lot of sati, if you have a lot of awareness of what is going on, a spirit can only enter your body if you are weak in mind, if you have a very weak mind. Yeah? So if you have a very strong mind, are very determined, then the spirit cannot do anything. He cannot possess you. Yeah? And you don't have to be afraid of him. I mean, fear of the spirit, allows him to come. Yeah? So don't be afraid of it, I mean, fight it with meditation, I mean, it doesn't matter, if the Buddha disappears, the moment you notice the Buddha disappears, you bring it back.
But because the citta is very weakened by it, so I've told you that I easily feel drowsy, and I hardly can fill up the study. I practice every day for 1 hour, meditation, walking meditation or sitting meditation, but it doesn't work very well. A friend of me teach me practicing that. and saying that by practicing Vajrasana, I can like protect myself at this. But I try to imagine the white object, but it fails. It just stops me from thinking anything.
If it stops you from thinking anything, that is fine. I mean, that's a whole process of samatha meditation. We want to stop thinking, yeah? But we want to be present, yeah? But what happens if you use the Buddha or whatever object you use, if you use anapanasati, the moment the mind gets calm, it likes to go to sleep. And that's where you have to counteract. The mind tells you, you know, the citta tells you, now I'm tired, now I want to go to sleep. And then this is a thought, you know, that comes several times before you actually go and go drowsy, you know, or fall asleep, yeah? So you counteract, you see the thought and you said, no, I want to stay awake, yeah? And then you stay awake. No matter if some other spirit possesses you, yeah? I mean, what possesses you at the moment are the kilesas. Yeah, they tell you what to do. They tell you, you know, how to do it, you know, how you are, who you are, where you are, and so on, yeah. They constantly tell you, yeah. They tell you, I'm hungry. They tell you, I want to do this. They tell you, I want to go to sleep, yeah. So you are actually, you know, I mean, when you think about this, you are possessed by the kilesas, yeah. Just like everybody around you, yeah. They're all possessed by the kilesas. It doesn't really matter, you know, if you're possessed by another being, yeah, then he tells you, you know, what to do, yeah? Yeah? So fight the kilesas. The more you fight the kilesas and don't give in to their wanting or their desires, yeah? Yeah, the stronger you are, and then an outside spirit cannot possess you.
So the main direction for me is to give up my practice.
Yes.
And it goes away.
Yeah. I mean, how old are you?
22.
I mean, you remember how you learned to walk? Try to remember it. I mean, you got up, you fell over, you got up, you fell over. But you always tried until it took about a year, yeah? Ask your mother, yeah? It took about a year for you to be able to walk, yeah? And, once you could walk, you know, you started to run, yeah? And that's the same with the practice. The same with talking. It's nothing that we can read and learn from reading. It's something that we have to practice, yeah? So don't give up, yeah? I mean, and not only do 1 hour a day, you know, do 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the evening, yeah? And if you have free time, I mean, do 3 hours. Yeah?
3 hours. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah?
3 hours.
Yeah. That will strengthen. I mean, it is the same thing, you know, when you go to school and you have only one class a week, you know, I mean, you don't remember, yeah? The more often you do the meditation, the better it is, yeah? The more you strengthen, you know, the more you strengthen your citta, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel upset, you know, if it doesn't work out, yeah? I mean, I know the young generation is so impatient, yeah? I mean, they want to work it now. No, it's not possible. Meditation takes a long time, yeah? So build it up, yeah? And if the Buddha, you know, if you feel like you're drowsy, I mean, then open your eyes, throw some water in your face, and then continue. Yeah?
Okay.
Write that down.
And drowsiness is one obstacle that I face when I meditate. Another one is being very bored. Like, because...
Being what?
Bored.
Oh, bored. Yeah, that is... It's so typical. Every person, you know, who starts meditation... has the same problems, yeah? So you're not alone, yeah?
Yeah.
So we have to overcome, yeah? What is boredom is the lack of interest. So you should be more interested in the Buddha, or you should be more interested in the breath. How is the breath, or how is the Buddha at the moment? Is the Buddha, do you take Buddha, or do you take Anapanasati?
usually for I'm walking meditation and aware of my own body.
No, no, you have to have a fixed object. Yeah? I mean, your concentration, if you concentrate on the breath, your concentration, point of concentration should be around the nose. Yeah? And the whole body, you know, then it shifts, yeah? It shifts too easily. Or when you're with the Buddha, then you concentrate on the Buddha, yeah? And the moment, you know, the concentration goes or the Buddha goes away, then you bring it back to the Buddha, yeah? We always have to have an anchor. If you don't have an anchor, yeah? You're from Singapore, yeah? I mean, if you go to, you know, if you go on a ship, yeah? And it floats in the water, I mean, it can float in every direction if it doesn't have an anchor.
Okay. Yeah?
So our mind has to have an anchor, a point of where it can, you know, always rely on, yeah? And that is the point where we always put our attention back onto that point, yeah? Be it the Buddha or be it around the nose, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You know, I have to train with Buddha, like now I choose Buddha as my anchor point.
Yeah.
So I have to like practice until I get into jhana, right? To overcome.
Forget about the jhanas. Samadhi is enough. Don't. I mean jhanas, yeah? I mean everybody wants a jhana. Now, I mean samadhi is enough. To get calm until there is no more thoughts and there is no more, there are no more memories coming up, yeah? When you observe the Buddha, observe if it is fast, if it is slow, if it is there, yeah, if it is continuous, yeah? And observe, you know, if it is at the beginning or if the Buddha is at the beginning or is it at the end, yeah? When it is the end, observe, you know, I mean the pause, you know, and then observe, you know, and then the next Buddha. Be interested in it, yeah? I mean, look, you know, what kind of hobby you have, yeah? Most of the people nowadays don't have any hobbies anymore, they just play around with their smartphones, yeah? This is the worst training, yeah? I mean, if you have a smartphone, use it, you know, as little as possible. Don't just scroll through, you know? I mean, this takes away, you know, your ability to concentrate.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Because you're going so quick, you know, I mean, that means, you know, I mean, your mind is very quick going, you know, going forth and back, yeah? And meditation is just the opposite. It's staying at the same point, yeah? So use your smartphone as little as possible, yeah? Just if it is important, then use it, yeah? That also helps your concentration to grow, yeah? Okay? Understood?
Thank you, Ajahn.
Yeah, this young generation.
Do you have the next person who would like to ask a question? You can raise your hand, or if you're not comfortable, you can also type your question in the chat.
Yeah?
Ajahn, I have one question about how exactly is the citta purified? So for example, in my practice, after some sittings, it's like I come out bruised and exhausted, and it's like when it's a real fight with the kilesas. And in other times, if I have some concentration, I can come out and I've never felt more energized.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like what's actually happening that's neutralizing the karma or purifying the citta, or...
No, there's nothing that neutralizes the karma. You cannot neutralize karma. That's impossible. But what is happening, and that happens to every practitioner, some meditations are good where you get into the calm, and then you feel energetic when you come out, and some of the meditations are really just a fight, you know, every moment you have to fight for your Buddha, yeah? Or you have to fight for the breath, yeah? Because the mind does not want to stay up, to stay at the same object, yeah? The mind or the citta is just like a little child, you know, it wants to play, you know? But sometimes when it is tired, it doesn't play, you know? I mean, so that's where you get the energy, yeah? You're like a father, you know, looking after the little child, yeah? And it constantly bothers you, you know, I mean, If you have brothers and sisters, you know it. Or if you have nieces and nephews, you know it. You know how bothersome they can be. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, when they find some other interest, you know, then they leave you alone. Yeah. And then once they leave you alone, yeah, the kilesas leave you alone, then you come out and you feel completely energized. But it's, yeah, there will be times, you know, where we have to fight, yeah. Lungta Mahaboa, you know, sometimes when he wanted to get into deep samadhi, he was sitting for 11 hours before he could get there. So he was fighting for 11 hours, yeah. And only then, after 11 hours, you know, he could go in there and then came out completely rested, yeah? But we give up after 20 minutes, today it's not working, yeah? No, well, tomorrow it won't be working either, yeah? So, you understand, yeah? So it's natural. I mean, to purify is done through investigation, yeah? Investigation, the main topic of our investigation is the body. Yeah, that's how we purify the citta, by cutting off the kilesas, the attachment, yeah, to this body, or to feeling, or to memory, or to thought. Yeah, I mean, we are so attached to our thoughts we can't stop thinking. Yeah, I mean, how often did you ever ask yourself how often you had the same thought, and what does it bring you? Yeah. I call it sometimes mental masturbation, yeah? We want to over and over and over, all memories, bringing up the memories over and over and over again, yeah? For what? What is the purpose of it, yeah? To distract ourselves. So to purify the citta, there's only one way, investigation, yeah? Investigation of the five khandhas, and we start with the first khandha, the rupa, yeah? The body. And that will take us a long time, yeah? But over the time, you know, the more we cut down and the more we investigate the asupa, the loathsomeness of the body, huh? I mean, the freer we get, you know, the less our attachment to food or the body or bodily needs, yeah, the less the fear, you know, of sickness and other things become, yeah. That is how you purify the citta, yeah. Okay, understood? Okay, next question. Yeah, now you're ready. What is that?
I have a question about staying with the meditation object. When I'm feeling drowsiness, would it be better to keep fighting, or is it okay to change postures while still staying with the meditation object?
No. I mean, keep fighting if you can fight. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, drowsiness or boredom, just like the other person said. You know, I mean, it's just obstacles. Yeah. If you can fight it, you know, I mean, but if you fall for it, you know, then open your eyes, you know, and wake yourself up and then start again. Yeah? I mean, you remember I said, you know, I mean, we constantly start again. Yeah? Don't worry, you know, some people want to fight through, you know, yeah, but that sometimes it's not good, yeah. Sometimes it's good to fight through, sometimes it's not good, yeah. We don't want to lose, yeah. Sometimes, if you see, we don't want to lose that kind of, you know, that kind of calm or that kind of happiness that comes, yeah. Then it is better to stop, you know, and do it again, yeah. Instead of, you know, attaching to a false sense of feeling, yeah, that is turned only into a memory now, yeah, yeah. And then we attach to this memory, and then fighting is useless, yeah. Then start again, okay. Let's do it again, yeah? Okay, here's the nose, you know, here's the breath, or here's the Buddha, yeah? So, from the Zoom session, any other questions?
Yes, John, would you like to unmute yourself?
Hello, Bhante. So good to see you again this month. My question is about contemplating the body using the four elements.
Yeah.
Do you have suggestions how to investigate using the four elements?
I mean, that is difficult. I mean, you need extremely sati, you know, for using the four elements, huh? I mean, you have to see, yeah? I mean, you take an organ, yeah? Or you take the skin, or you take the hair, or whatever, yeah? You take this object, you have it in your mind, yeah, and as clear as possible, and then you let it dissolve into the four elements. It's a water element, it's a fire element, it's the air element, yeah? earth element, yeah? It's very difficult. Most people, who can really work with the four elements are people who are extremely good at sati. Who is extremely sati, yeah? I mean, most of the people, who do it, are people who can do the jhanas, yeah? Then it is very easy for them to dissolve that into the four elements. What we do is do the hard work, yeah? I mean, cutting, yeah? Then, yeah, taking it off and looking at it, yeah? And that brings the disgust up, yeah? And that's what we want, yeah? We want to see, where the disgust is coming from, yeah? It's coming from something that we don't want to see, yeah? All our life we were running away from the things that we didn't want to see, or that we didn't want to know, yeah? A lot of people don't want to know a lot of things that are discomforting their heart, yeah? But now we want to know, yeah? Now we want to see, yeah? So, I mean, stand in front of a mirror and then take a razor sharp blade, and then pull your skin off, yeah? And look what is behind that skin. Yeah? That's a body contemplation, yeah? However, if you are very good...
Better to stay with the sutra than go through the subtle...
Yes. Sooner or later, once you do the asupa for years and years and years on end, it will automatically dissolve. Then you will see, once you compare, for instance, the liver with the kidneys, you will be able to, then it dissolves by itself, but only through our practice of asupa practice, yeah. But a lot of people don't...
talk about young people.
Yeah.
You say young people aren't patient, but I'm an old person and I'm impatient.
Yes, that also happens, yeah. when I went, as a working person, to the supermarket, yeah. I mean, the old people who were retired were the most impatient people, and they wanted to go first, yeah. They had nothing else to do, but they were really impatient and they couldn't wait, because the time is running out. They always feel the time is running out, yeah? The young people don't have that feeling that the time is running out. So, develop that patience.
It's running out.
Yeah? Doesn't matter. You don't know. Develop the patience. See, okay, there's 1 minute, I have 1 minute, yeah. Use that 1 minute wisely. Don't worry about the future, because the impatience comes with worrying about the future. Yeah? Cut off the future and there's no impatience. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Try and accept.
Ajahn.
Yeah?
Thank you, Dr. Ajahn. Can I ask this question? Is memory and consciousness the same?
What?
Thank you, Ajahn.
Memory and consciousness.
Is memory and consciousness the same?
No, not of course. I mean, there are five khandhas. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, Vinyana. So it is a body, it is feeling. Feeling are two categories. There's bodily feeling and mental feeling. Yeah? Then there's thought. Yeah? And there's memory and association, and there's consciousness. Consciousness, I mean, you can say you are conscious of something, yeah? Or you are aware of things, yeah? When you are really what is it, I mean, you're sense conscious, yeah? You're conscious that some sense comes into your ear, yeah? Then the memory comes into play and tells you what kind of sound it is, yeah? Or the same with the eye, yeah? I mean, you see something, yeah? So you're conscious of seeing, yeah? If you're not conscious, you don't see anything, yeah? You see something, then the memory tells you what to see, yeah? Sometimes, you know, if it is something unknown, it has to rattle through all its, yeah? I mean, it's a, what is it called? A picture matching process, yeah? That's what all the computers use, yeah? When they want to discover the faces on the CCTVs, yeah? And they go through a whole lot of pictures, yeah? Until they find the one that matches, yeah? It's a matching process, yeah? Memory is a matching process, yeah? It uses a lot of computing power of our brain, yeah? But it's quite fast, yeah? So consciousness is consciousness, being conscious of what is coming into our sense contact, yeah? Or you can also call it sense awareness, yeah? And then what happens too, that sense, yeah, I mean to the consciousness of the sense, is done by memory and thought, yeah? And then you know what you see and know what you hear, yeah? Okay?
So, Ajahn, so the memory lives with us when we die, or the consciousness lives with us when we die?
Of course. Everything. Huh? Except for the body that dies, yeah? Yeah? But memory, you know, all these faculties, you know, will be, yeah? But the memory of your previous life, you know, for most people, you know, will be erased, yeah? It is not good, you know, I mean, if you remember all your bad deeds, you know, in your next life, you want to start afresh, yeah? So it's a protection, yeah? But the karma of the old deeds will come back to you, yeah? So, no, of course, you know, I mean, even if you go out of your body, you still have memory, you still have thoughts, you still have feelings, yeah? And you have a fine material body, yeah? So you go out, yeah? Huh? Go visit the heavenly realms or the hell realms, you still see, yeah? Huh? You still feel, you know, and you still memorize things, yeah? So these things don't go away when you die. Okay? Would be nice if everything disappeared. Yeah, what is?
My question is around sila, keeping sila.
Yeah?
I've heard in your YouTube videos many times that keeping sila is quite difficult. But the only time that I've had some difficulty keeping sila is around harsh speech, where I might tell my brother off or something like that. But I want to know, in what way is it hard? I mean, either I'm looking at it in too gross a manner, and there are subtle sort of things that I'm not looking at.
The subtleness is the difficult thing, yeah, to see, yeah? I mean, if you're not aware, if you don't have sati, you don't see, yeah? That's why I said, you know, sila, samadhi, panya, yeah? Are three columns where we build our house of liberation on it, yeah? If sila is not strong enough, yeah? If sati is not strong enough, I mean, we are not aware of what we are doing wrong. I mean, just look around in your community where you live, you know, people are not aware that they do something wrong. Yeah? So if you don't have this awareness, if you don't have the sati, you don't know, yeah? I mean, and the better your sati is, yeah, the more you're aware of your little things that you do wrong. Yeah? That is why it is hard. Yeah? Why do people drink alcohol or take drugs? They don't want to know. Yeah? So they don't want to know what they are doing wrong, yeah? Or they want to forget something what they did wrong, yeah? That's why they drink, yeah? Drink to oblivion, yeah? Because they don't want to remember these things, yeah? One of the basic factors, you know, of our human society is not wanting to know really, yeah? We only want to see, we want to grasp all these soap bubbles. Oh, they are so beautiful. The soap bubbles, you know, they're gone. But we don't want to know, yeah? We don't want to know that these soap bubbles, you know, I mean, the moment we grasp them, they are gone, yeah? Because once you grasp one soap bubble, then you don't run after if you're aware of it, if you want to know, yeah? And that's the same thing with sila, yeah? I'm sure that, you know, I mean, when your sati grows better, then you see much more than harsh speech, yeah? Little things, you know, I mean, you took off, you know, I mean, you just grabbed, you know, while you were walking in the market, you know, you grabbed a little apple or whatever, or berry, you know, and you put it in your mouth and you were not aware of it. That's breaking the sila, yeah? Or you went into your neighbor's garden, you know, and plucked some apples or whatever it is, yeah? Huh? No? You didn't do that? Yes. Or took some food, you know, I mean, you went to a friend's home, you know, and you were thirsty, you know, you went to the fridge, you know, and took a Coke or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's all, yeah. See? Yeah, because we have our sati, you know, and our awareness, and the more our memory comes back, we see everything that we did wrong. That's the beauty of it, and that's also, you know, it's quite hard on us, yeah.
So with stealing, it's anything that's not given.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Including.
Because things have an owner. If they don't have an owner, of course you can take it. If you go to the forest that belongs, you know, to the community, and you see a berry, then you can take it, yeah. But if it is a garden and you take it, or if it's your friend's house, yeah, and he didn't say, okay, feel at home, yeah, take whatever you want, yeah. Most don't say that. Huh? And you take something and you think, oh, he's my friend, you know, I can take it, yeah. Or if your mother said, you know, this is for the evening and you take it in the afternoon, yeah, because you're lusting for it, you know, I mean, it's also, yeah. Going against the precept. Okay? So, what is the next? Where's the next question? I don't want to sit too long here, yeah? Get up, get your questions, yeah?
Does anyone on Zoom have any further questions?
Yeah, we forget it and put it the next time. I mean, too many questions.
We always forget it.
What? Yeah, we have a...
Would you like to ask a question, Sajan?
Yes. Can you hear me, Ryan?
Yes, I can.
Sajan, I'm just following up on one of the questions that as you said again and again, that the getting the human birth is not guaranteed.
Yeah.
And keeping the stila, this thing, it helps in the way. But my question is that even when you are born as a human being, how do I guarantee, if that is possible, to determine or to wish that I am drawn to the teaching of the Lord Buddha? That's my question.
I mean, this is determination. I mean, well, what is it in Thai? It is Adhitan. I don't know what is it.
In Pali,
Adhitana. Yeah, Adhitana, what is the English word for it?
Resolution or determination.
Yeah, I mean some sort of determination, resolution, yeah, that you want to find the way out, yeah. But then you have to follow on your resolution, yeah. You have to follow on the determination and you know what to do, yeah. Sila, Samadhi, Panya, yeah. And then you try to develop it as best as you can, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, in the morning when you wake up, yeah, I mean, you get back your resolution or determination. Yeah, I want to follow the path of the Lord Buddha as best as I can. The only guarantee that people have, you know, to be born as a human being is to reach the state of Sotapanna, stream entry. Yeah. Then they can be sure that they are born as human being. If they have not reached the state of Sotapanna, yeah, I mean, they can be thrown everywhere, you know, within the 31 realms, yeah? Unless, you know, people have really exceptionally good sila. There are people, you know, have extremely good sila, yeah? So, I mean, they are very unlikely to go down into the lower realms, yeah? Or if they go down to the lower realms, then it's only for a very short time. Yeah? Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Every morning. Yeah? Every morning, you know, you wake up, the first thought is, yeah, I want to follow the path of the Lord Buddha. And that is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Yeah? Okay?
Thank you. Nick, I think we have Carlos. Would you like to unmute yourself?
How is he doing? Carlos was from... You are from Washington, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
It is one thing. Wishing you health and bliss.
He's growing a beard. You're growing a beard, huh?
Oh, mustache. Yes.
Mustache.
Yes, yes, sir. Bhante, I wanted to ask you, I've been hearing from other agents, some points of view about meditation, like samatha meditation with kamatana, with an object of concentration.
Yeah.
And so some agents say, have the idea that is kind of like dodging the, like for example, let's say you feel sad or you feel suffering, and then you would use the object of meditation like pushing away your suffering, and you're not really working on it. And you know, that sounds kind of, I just wanted to reconcile those two things. If you could help me with that, that would be great. Thank you,
Andrew. Yeah, very simple. All our life, when we saw a heap of shit, we looked away. Is that suppressing the shit? No. The shit is... I mean, if you walk on the street, yeah, and see, you know, a dog shit, you know, or whatever, you know, and when you're rural, you know, see cow shit or whatever, yeah, you look away. Don't you? You don't look at it and say, oh, what is this? This is shit. How does it smell? Ah, it smells like this. You know, how does it feel? It feels like this. How does it taste? It tastes like this. Oh, it is shit. Yeah? Huh? No. You look away. Don't you? When you see
it. Yes, I used to do that.
Well, to look and feel, huh? Or to look away. That is good, yeah. But what the point is, yeah, it's not suppressing. If we look the other way, and we do that in very, you know, mostly automatic, you know, we are so much trained to do that, yeah. We look away. That doesn't mean that we are suppressing something. Suppressing something is not wanting to know and consciously pushing something down. Yeah? I don't want to feel it. But if we just can put our attention, yeah, when we feel sadness or some feeling is coming up, or memory is coming up, or thought is coming up, if we can put our attention back to the Buddha or back to the breath, then it is not suppressing. If we tell ourselves, I don't want to have this kind of feeling, then it is suppressing. You understand? It's not good, you know, I mean, it's not good for your samatha. It's not good for your samatha meditation, yeah? I mean, to constantly go to these feelings and memories that come up, you will never get calm, yeah? When we get calm, once we get calm, yeah, and we can concentrate on our object, be it the breath or be it the Buddha, and we get calm, and there's no memories and no more feelings coming up, yeah? And then we come out of samatha, and then some feeling is coming up, then we can investigate it. Yeah. Then we can look what kind of thought, what kind of memory brought up that feeling. We accept the feeling. I mean, for instance, we learn it with when we sit for 2 hours, 3 hours, yeah? There's dukkha vedana, there's some pain in the knees and there's some pain, yeah? So we learn how to investigate pain, yeah? The first thing of investigating pain, we have to accept it. Just like, you know, when you see the shit, you smelled it, you know, yeah? And now we feel the pain. Feel it your whole body, yeah? Feel it. What is pain? What does it feel like, yeah? And once you can feel it, you accept it, then you can start to investigate it. Okay, you understand that? I don't agree with the other Acha. We should do either samatha or vipassana, yeah? Not mix it up, yeah? So when we do samatha, when we say, I mean, I'm sitting for 2 hours and stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath, yeah? Or with both, yeah? Then we should do it, yeah? And the only exclusion is, yeah, that what my master told me, yeah? The only exclusion is when there is too much pain, then we can start to investigate pain. Nothing else, yeah?
Okay,
When the pain is there, then what is the pain? Then we can investigate pain. When we can't concentrate on the Buddha or on the breath anymore, then we are allowed to investigate pain. Otherwise, everything becomes, you know, I mean, it becomes mushy. You don't know what is what. You don't know what is samatha. You don't know what is investigation, because you mix it all up, yeah? Understood?
Yes, Master, thank you. If you allow me, I have another, just a quick yeah? tip, if you could provide for me. Lots of times when I'm meditating or just going about my normal life, I've been in my mind, there are songs playing all the time.
Some what?
And
some pain.
Songs, like music.
Ah.
Songs.
Oh, songs all the time.
And I don't listen to music intentionally for years already, like, let's say 5 years.
Yeah.
I used to listen to music all the time before for years, but then, you know, when I found Buddhism and I started to go, like seriously into it, I just gave up all my music and I don't listen to music on my own intention.
Yeah.
But you know, working, you go to a place or you go to a market where there are songs, and then they get stuck there like forever, like, and they play all the time, and it's very annoying. And sometimes I will just, you know, bear with them, okay, they will go away, and
No. Because part of your citta, part of your mind is still interested in these songs. So, I mean, it's like looking, you know, you have two eyes. With one eye, you're looking on the Buddha, and the other eye still looks at the song. Yeah. So take the other eye that looks at the song also to look at the Buddha. Yeah. So there is some interest in these songs. And that's what the kilesas use to bring you, to distract you from your meditation object. It also means that at the moment of meditation, your interest in your meditation object is not strong enough. So it can be diverted very easily. And it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, now it is songs, yeah? And sooner or later it will be pictures, you know, or it will be memories, you know, anything, yeah? So it is just a distraction. No, it is a distraction. I mean, when you hear the song says, this is a distraction, let's be really, really detailed about the breath or about the Buddha that I have. Hmm? And then you will see, it fades out. It's a lack of interest. Understand that. It's a lack of interest. Yeah. Your interest is divided by two things. Yeah. Your meditation object, you know, and whatever the kilesas bring up. If you get...
But...
What?
Sorry about that. I wanted to say that most of the time what happens now are songs that I didn't like before or I didn't have any interest on it. And I don't enjoy that. It's actually...
It can be both, yeah? It can be songs that you liked and it can be songs that you didn't like. It's the kilesas who bring up the song. Yeah? They want to distract you, yeah? It is the same thing, you know, you sit in a meditation hall, you know, and outside, you know, I mean, you hear some workers, you know, ripping apart the street, yeah? It's something you don't like, but the kilesas go there. And they say, oh, I don't like it, yeah? What you have to do is, yes, I like it, you know, what is sound? For instance, investigating sound, yeah? And then there is no likes and dislikes. And then you can leave it aside, you know, and then you go back to your meditation object. Sound is sound, yeah? The moment we put a label on, it's a song, I like it or not like it, then it becomes a problem. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Marty. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
How are you feeling, Longpo?
Yeah, it's okay, you know, I mean, if there are some more pressing questions, you know, I mean, yeah, some of the people on the Zoom, yeah, the people here have all the time, you know, they come every morning and bother me, yeah, the people, you know, living in other countries, they don't have the time to bother me, yeah.
Okay. We have one lady, John, and then after that, we have one question directly sent to me
okay.
on Zoom.
Okay, so make...
After that.
So do the two questions. Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask another question?
go ahead, you know.
I alternate. In fact, I alternate walking and sitting meditation.
Yeah, that's good.
So I get up in the morning, I start walking, and then I time myself. So
yeah.
I have a timer, and I'll do 15 minutes walking, and then 50 minutes sitting, 50 minutes walking.
50 or 15?
For 50.
50, okay.
50,
5-0. Okay, 5-0.
50 minutes. So when I'm doing the 50-minute sitting, sometimes I'm getting pretty deep, and then the alarm goes off, it interrupts me. So I'm wondering if I should be timing myself or just
timing
doing
is
it for as long as...
No. If you see, yeah, timing is only for the beginning, yeah? Once you get used to, forget about the timer, yeah? But once you notice, you know, I mean, you can, before you do walking meditation, look at your watch, and when you come back from walking meditation, look also at the watch. If the time becomes less and less and less, then use a timer, yeah? Otherwise, forget about it. It's the same with sitting, yeah? I mean, if you... I used the time in the first year or first 1.5 years, and then I forgot about it, yeah, because it's useless, yeah. It is more disturbing, like you said, yeah. You really start getting really calm, and suddenly the timer goes off, and
okay.
and it disturbs you. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Ryan, what is the question via chat?
I think Dahlia might have a follow-up question.
It's okay. Yeah, follow up.
Hi, Dahlia, you can unmute yourself.
Hello. Thank you, Arzwan. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I do sati, so the breath, constantly, all the time, the moment I wake up till I go to bed, even if I do things around the house, whatever, I always bring it back, thousands of times, bring it back. Can you give me any advices, what else I can do so I can go to this, like we spoke, it will be really hard times the next few weeks, so what advice you give me? Please, to remain as centered, peaceful as I can.
There is one thing that you need to do. Yeah, I mean, it is important always to bring back the breath, you know, to attention back to the breath. But you also need to do formal sitting meditation.
Okay.
And that not only 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you really have to, you know, you really have to get calm, yeah? I mean, it should be at least 45 minutes up to an hour, yeah? And do it, you know, if you can do it, you know, do it one, when you wake up, you know, do it instantly, you know, before you do anything else. And when you come back home from work, you know, do another hour before you start doing anything, yeah? And also, you know, start to do the daily reflection that I always talk about. Yeah?
I do that.
Okay.
I do that and many
people. Don't judge.
No judging. There is no judging in any sort. It's not that I like this, I don't like this, I don't suppress any of it. And they come at their own accord. I don't even expect to come or, you know, they just... Just like that, Arjun, I can explain.
Yeah, okay.
I know you.
Yeah. But do the formal meditation. Yeah, it is important, yeah. And you will see there will be some difficulties. It's much more difficult than just, you know, when you do this or that, you know, to return back to the breath. Right? You can also do walking meditation, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
And when you come out of the meditation, address the problem of your son. Yeah. Feel the pain. Yeah. And then look what is behind that pain. What kind of thought? What kind of memory? Yeah. And then correct that memory and correct that that thought. Yeah. That comes up and brings you that suffering.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm surprised, Ajahn, you know, because I did have out of body experiences and some of the light, you know, this.
Yeah.
And I don't see like older, I don't judge. I don't. It's like no, I like this. I don't like this. And so many things are. Inside me, and still I still find out that it's still attachment remaining. Very subtle attachment is still there, and now it's surface.
Yeah, because still, even though you might not judge, you know, this is good or this is bad or this I like or this I don't like. Yeah. There is a judgment in the back of your mind that you are not aware of, because your concentration, your sati is not strong enough to see the thoughts that are running in the background all the time. And they're giving us the information. When you see a person, yeah, I mean, it's a mind that gives you the information who it is, you know, how he looks, you know, and whatever, yeah. It's also a judgment, yeah. So this is going on, yeah. And in this we have to become more and more aware of this kind of judgment as well. Okay?
Thank you, Ajahn, so much.
Okay, so Ryan, the question, and then we close, yeah, the question from the chat.
Okay,
if there is no more other pressing question, yeah, the lay people here can ask the questions in our next session. Huh? They don't have questions for me, geez. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Well, the question is, the Buddha says that everyone loves themselves the most. Then does an arahant love himself the most too? Does the loving kindness to themselves equal to that which they have for others? Thank you.
The Lord Buddha was correct. Everybody loves himself the most. Yeah? An arahant doesn't love himself, because there is no self that he can love. He has overcome self, yeah. The path to liberation is to overcome self, yeah. Because then you're free. And if you have overcome self, then you love everybody. Yeah. Not the love that, you know, the West is dreaming of, or that is written in books or in movies, yeah. I mean love, the compassion that you feel for every being, yeah. You don't differentiate, yeah, between beings. Yeah?
Thank you, Longpo.
Yeah.
So, I think with that, we can hold the session to a close.
Yeah.
That's all pure respect. So
what?
Two like questions with your sanctum to
Zoom. Oh, okay. Wait a moment. There are two questions that are concerning the Zoom, or?
I mean, they were sent before and for the Zoom session.
Before the Zoom session, okay.
Yes. So the first question from Andy. Ajahn, in your Dhamma talk, you mentioned if meditation is really good when we struggle all day long, then our meditation is worthwhile. Can Ajahn explain more detail about it?
When you have to struggle, when you have to fight, is that where you have to learn, when you learn, and that's why I said your meditation is good, yeah? If you sit there, you know, and for 10 hours, in the jhanas or in samadhi, you don't learn a thing. But if you have to struggle, if you have to tackle, yeah, the cleverness of the kilesas, how can I overcome, you know, how can I overcome boredom? How can I put more interest? That is how you struggle, yeah? And you struggle for 10 hours, and you learn, you know. And each time you learn something, I mean, the kilesas, you weaken the power of the kilesas to distract you. Yeah? That's why it is much more worthwhile to fight the whole day than just to sit, you know, for 10 hours, you know, in a bliss. You don't learn a thing. Yeah? You just feel good. Yeah? Yes? Huh? That's why we do walking meditation. Yeah? Michi. We don't like to do it. Yeah? So next question.
And the second question that was sent in, what does Tanajan think about homosexuality? In Christianity, it is considered a sin leading to hell. If I want to develop spirituality and practice meditation, should I better off to renounce any homosexual activity?
Shall I talk about that? Over our birth and death, yeah, we have sometimes been a woman and sometimes been a man. Yeah? So the most difficult phase is if in our last life we have been a woman, yeah, and now we are a man. We don't like the new form, you know, of the body, and we don't like the new feeling. We can't cope with it. But sooner or later we have to learn how to cope with it. So going into, you know, going into old patterns, yeah, if it is the woman side of homosexuality or the male side of homosexuality, it is better, yeah, to refrain, yeah. If we are going the spiritual path, yeah, I'm only talking about the spiritual path. If we're going the spiritual path, I mean, it is better, you know, to refrain from these activities and learn how to deal with your new body and the feelings, you know, that you have, yeah. But, I don't know, I mean, sexual misconduct, I mean, it is not really sexual misconduct, I mean, if you have the same sex, yeah? But normally homosexuality has a lot of sexual misconduct, you know, in the homosexual community, as far as I know, as far as I heard, yeah? I mean, I had a few homosexual friends, yeah? And they change partners very often, and they are quite hurtful, you know, within their sexual relationship. So I mean, when you're on a spiritual path, I would refrain from it. Try to refrain from it as much as you can. That's my advice, yeah. So, okay, so all the questions, you know, I mean, concerning the Zoom sessions are answered. Yeah, I wish you a very fruitful, you know, holidays, you know, I mean, now Christmas is coming up for you in the West, yeah? Huh? Use the time, you know, huh? Instead of, you know, eating a, you know, opulent meal, then try to make an opulent meditation session, yeah? So you use the time wisely, yeah? I mean, to develop your sati, yeah? And normally, you know, especially in the West, in Europe and US, you know, I mean, it's quite cold, you know, people are at home. And so, I mean, take a few blankets, you know, and make yourself warm and meditate a lot, yeah. It's quiet out there, you know, people are not so, people are more peaceful, you know, in the Christmas session. It's not here in Asia. Asia is very busy. Christmas. Okay, so. Have a nice time, yeah? Practice well, yeah? And we see you sometimes, you know, mid or end of January, yeah?
Okay, let us give Lompo three bows in thanks for the teachings. First bow. Second bow. Third bow.
And also, Ryan, it also holds true for you, you know, to practice a lot, yeah? Yeah?
Yes, my boy, yes, definitely.
Good. Bye bye, Tukkon. Yeah. We will have a meeting sometimes next week so you can ask all your questions that you have, yeah. Anyway, they come every day in the morning, you know.